Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say. This is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to KimandLavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
Served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Tuesdays are Kim and Lavoie Judgment Days on the Wendy's Big Show. We're here 2 to 6 weekdays. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. He hosts the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. He'll be back on the air tonight taking your calls. Go inside the box. Hear from Coach Mike Budenholzer after the Bucks. Hopefully, even up the series at one game apiece. While he's doing that, myself and Tim Allen, we do the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. We will be on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan's Facebook page with some Facebook Live talking Brewers and Rockies after that one is done. Sparky, we were in here with you on Sunday. A lot of fun. We co-op shows for about a half hour. Then bottom of the hour, you got out, and we talked more Brewers after that. And while I was listening to you, you had one of the best ideas, I think, for the Bucks to generate offense while also trying to open up and space the floor a little bit, because I feel like that's the biggest thing. Reading everything out of practice and the film session where Bud apparently went off on everybody this week, it was...
As much as he goes off.
Right, as much as the mild-mannered
Budenholzer
goes off. During the film was that they need to space the floor more for Giannis. You might have a solution for that tonight. When we ask 414-799-1250, what should the Bucks do tonight?
Well, make an adjustment, but we're not going to do that, apparently. But we'll see.
That sounds too difficult.
We'll see if there's smoke, if it's just smoke. Maybe they'll do something, hopefully. But if we're looking to try something different, put Middleton back at the two and put Mirotić back out there and let Giannis play the three, and then let's see what Boston does to counter that. Let's see what their reaction is to that starting five coming out on the floor, and let's see then how they match up with Giannis. Is Horford going to go do that? Because if Horford and Baines, those are your two bigs, are going to deal with that, they're going to have a mismatch somewhere. And then Middleton against Jaylen Brown, Middleton can guard Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaylen Brown and Middleton would be a good matchup. And then it's still Bledsoe and Kyrie, but then it's your 3-4-5 versus their 3-4-5. Maybe Gordon Hayward ends up into their starting lineup at that point, both Boston, in order to counter Mirotić out there. But then at least it's a different look. It's a different feel. Then let's see what they do with you at that point. Because then, now you really do have shooters all over the place. No knock on Sterling Brown, who's played well, not in this last game, but had been playing well coming
played
into this
very
thing.
Hard, too.
Now you're longer on defense, number one. You have a better chance of grabbing more boards with Mirotić out there instead of Sterling Brown. So you increase your rebounding game, and you got another shooter out there, and Mirotić shot well the last couple of games. So that would be something that I would consider, I think, going into this thing. Now, whether or not they do it, probably not. But that's something I would consider.
Everybody wants an adjustment made. What should the Bucks do tonight?
Not everybody.
414-799-1250. Sorry, all the guys on the team don't want adjustments to be made.
Right.
Or Coach Budenholzer.
Right.
Now, we don't know exactly what the rest of the staff is thinking. Some of the other guys on the staff might think, hey, man, we might want to play, you know, Giannis a little bit more off, get him more on the block, allow him to work more on Horford.
Or just play him more minutes.
Or not, yeah, only play him 32 minutes. That could also work. 414-799-1250. Let's go to Joel on the south side. Joel, what should the Bucks do tonight?
What's up, guys? I think Giannis needs to play off the ball, and you kind of just mentioned that right before, but if he's got the ball in his hands, which that is his strength, it's easier to load up on him and set that wall. And then you're just counting on guys hitting shots because, you know, he can't just continually bang his head against the wall. So, yeah, if he plays off the ball, and you see Harden did that a lot in game one against the Warriors, played off the ball, which he's not used to. He always has the ball in his hands. But trying to just get the defense moving so that when he gets it, they got to rotate to him and then either goes quickly or, you know, keep that ball popping. Because the most important thing to me in today's NBA is fluidity. And so once that ball stops, it just kind of it goes to hell. So, like, keep the ball moving. If that means Giannis more off the ball, I think that'll help. The one thing that they're struggling is with Brogdon being out, the only one that gets in the paint besides Giannis is Bledsoe. You don't really have guys getting in the paint to try to, you know, kick it back out to three-point shooters. So I'd like to see that. Otherwise, a lineup change, I mean, yeah, Mirotić. I was thinking more Mirotić for Lopez, but if you want to take Brown out, okay.
This is my problem with that. My problem is if you put Mirotić in there, they're just going to attack the rim because you only have Giannis out there to help at that point because you have nobody else that can block shots or defend the rim if Lopez is on the bench.
I agree. And then, yeah, you just if you're going to do that, you have to trust that Giannis isn't going to get into foul trouble. And, you know, can he do that? I think the Bucks will get the benefit of the whistle tonight. Not that you can play into that, but I guess, yeah, we'll see.
We will see early.
Appreciate
because
it, Joel.
They're going to get the benefit of the whistle. We shouldn't have early charge calls on Giannis when he goes plowing over five guys. So
he just need to take the three shot. They're going to give it to him. Just take it. It was 3 of 5. He got to take 7 threes, maybe even 8.
Huh?
Yes, he has to take them.
Tonight.
34.
Giannis?
Yeah. He got to take them. Yeah. He got to take them. They're giving it to him. You can have it. Have at it. Take it.
I'm not there.
Don't dribble. Take it. I've never in the history of the NBA heard of somebody saying don't let a superstar shoot.
Jason Kidd did it. And he wasn't a superstar,
Jason,
by the way.
Hey, man, listen.
He was just
Jason
a guy
Kidd
when Jason Kidd had him.
Jason Kidd worked on his game and was an amazing three-point shooter towards the
end. I'm just
career.
Stopping Twitter from yelling at you about Jason Kidd.
I don't care about no Twitter. Oh, man. Listen, take that shot. Take it. Otherwise, that's not the offense. What superstar you know that don't take wide-open shots? You take them shots. With confidence, take it. Nail it down.
Shaq didn't take him.
He don't need to be out of there. They ain't his game. I don't even know where that comparison comes
from. It's not Giannis' game either.
It's going to have to be.
At some point.
See, Shaq was never up nowhere around the three-point line.
Correct.
He just run down and get on the block and just hurt
and then
people.
Give it to me.
Sometimes they'll let Giannis bring the ball up.
Yep.
High pick and roll. There's your shot. Take it. Because if you go down there with Horford, especially Horford is the five, you're going to have problems.
That pick and pop was lethal that Kyrie and Al Horford were using within that 15, 18 foot range.
How do you defend it when the guy's going to take? Horford would take a three in a heartbeat and nail it down.
But they're going
to
give a mid range. They're going to give a mid range jumpers all day long because the Bucks want you to take mid range jumpers. The problem is Boston wants to take mid range jumpers. So if you're going to give them to us, we'll take them all night. Because unlike the rest of the NBA, who has just gone out to 3-point line and just gave up on the mid range shot, Boston says that's cool. We'll be different. Will continue to hit the mid-range jumpers. And that's what they did against the Bucks, and it killed them. It absolutely killed them. Al Horford by himself killed them.
Well, Giannis need to take that three.
Not 7 or 8, though, man.
That's the offense.
Gary, what do you think? 7 or 8 threes by Giannis? You
I
good?
Take 8 of.
He's going to develop something. Oh, man. If you think he's going to run through, and we'll find out.
He's going
to
try to.
He's going to try. I mean, with what they're talking, if they call it the same way, they should let it be physical. He'll be able to run through them.
But it's going to be different refs.
Yeah, so we don't know. So then you're going to have to adjust how that's going to go. But, you know, listen, it's got to be Giannis is a guy. What's the question here, Baby Taj?
The question is, what should the Bucks do tonight?
Well, yeah, they should stay on the game plan, man. They should stay on topic. Whatever got them here, stay here. Yeah, Leroy was right. Adjustment versus
change.
Yeah, make a couple adjustments, subtle adjustments to get guys open. I get that. But I think whatever brought you here, you stay with it. I don't know. Ryan Young's coattail. He's a guy. You got to stay in there.
They're all going to get open shots tonight.
They should.
Shoot them.
Did you see Kobe today? Was that detail? Y'all seen that?
The video I retweeted.
Like it.
Did you retweet? Did you see it then, Steve, or did you retweet it?
I retweeted and I watched the minute and 30-second clip
see what
they
he
put
said?
Out. Yeah.
You say it's got to be more like Tracy McGrady, because now saying that Tracy McGrady developed into an all-around player. He could hit the three.
Couldn't hit anything when he came in the
league. No, he developed into that and had post moves to go with it.
Yep.
And so that Kobe saying for him to take that next step, that's where he's got to be. And we may be at that point where he recognized, and I know it don't help you people right now, but he may recognize after this year, I need to add something else to my game.
And Tracy McGrady developed that turnaround as well.
Yes.
He had that turnaround.
And this don't happen just overnight, man. And I've been saying this for years.
He is only 24 years old.
Right. I've been saying this all year long. I just don't know how a guy just going to because he ain't Shaq, just going to run in and just run over Jokers. And that's what Giannis trying to do. I was saying, I don't know if he can do it for seven games in a series like that and go play defense.
And be the best defensive player on the floor.
Right.
By far.
And guard the best guy.
He has to lead the team.
You okay, baby? Talk to
yeah. He goodness has to gracious.
I ain't spit at you, dude.
No, I just.
He also has to lead the team in rebounds. He
got to do it all, Leroy. He got to do it all.
He has to average a triple-double.
He got to do it all, Leroy.
Rams on the north side, quickly, before we get Eric Name in here. What's going on, Ram?
Good, Ram.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Ram, what's happening, my brother?
Hey, man. I'm listening. I've been listening to the show since the beginning. Y'all came on, and I'm just, you know. Look at this analytics.
Ram, you sound like you're kind of down a little bit today.
No,
Ram.
No, okay. I'm good.
Weather
I'm just,
got you messed
I'm just keeping,
up?
I'm just keeping this basketball 100% real. And I know I get a lot of hate on social media, but like I said, you know,
I mean, you're doing
player.
Your job.
Yeah, I'm just keeping it 100. Like, Sparky just made a comment about mid-range shots. I'm looking at the stats. Boston made 16 more mid-range shots contested. Now, the problem I had with the Bucks offense is that when the Giannis gets the ball and they collapse on him, those guys getting wide open threes. But when you got somebody in front of them, I saw Lopez shoot like 2 air ball threes. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Butler was available. The Bucks didn't get him. Y'all saw what Butler did last night. We don't have nobody that can do that but Giannis.
Giannis can't even do that.
Well, Giannis don't have the game.
No.
He don't have the hand. Okay, right. Giannis don't have the hand.
Giannis can't do what Butler
separate.
Do. But Butler can't do what Giannis do either.
Right. But Butler is one of them guys that can just say, I can make difficult shots.
Right.
I can get to the line.
Right.
He had 12 rebounds.
Yes.
And then the other thing is that we talking about the scoring. Like, Gary, when I looked at the game the other night, you know what it reminded me of? Back to your football. It was like the Bucks was like the Badgers, and the Celtics was like Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah.
I mean, because we talking about 5-star, 4-star player versus 2 and 3.
Yes.
And we got Giannis, he's a 4, going to be a 5.
Correct.
But his help is not there, y'all. I mean, we just got to be real with it. Tatum didn't even have a good game, but he had 3 block shots in there.
Right.
I mean, so you're talking about star talent and people accepting their roles. You know, they accepting their roles. And then so Middleton, he wanted to be a max player. I don't know. He built like
we
that.
Should just start with the Middleton Bill
yeah.
Max. Let's just leave that alone and just let
okay,
Middleton
leave that
be.
Alone. We don't leave
just,
it alone.
Right.
Now.
Let Middleton be Middleton.
Right.
Because whatever that is, that's that man money.
Exactly.
Whatever that is, that's what it is. We just need.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
They're not going to do that.
Okay. Check
yeah. I don't, yeah. Because I think that Max money gone. Cause
no, it ain't.
Come with check, it quick, Ram.
Check it out. Check this out. Kyrie, if they was really calling the fouls, how many points would he really would have had? And Kyrie wouldn't complain. He's just saying, I'm going to get my shot.
He didn't complain. You're right about that.
He didn't complain one time. Sparky, did he complain?
No. Nope. Just ran back down.
He was playing like he was playing a playground game.
Yep.
That's a problem.
And he was hitting shots like it was a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, he played NBA 2K, and I'm looking at this, and I said, uh-oh.
Yep, that's what I said.
Yep, appreciate it.
When he had a couple of those turnarounds,
right?
I was like, oh,
in the first quarter, it was
yes.
13 points. You
yes.
Like, oh.
I said, oh, boy, he's on tonight.
And Giannis only had, like, 1 basket?
Yep.
Like, 1 for 7? I go, oh, God.
And that's the adjustment.
See.
The first and the third quarters were terrible.
For me, this whole game is going to come down to what happens in the first 5 to 8 minutes of the third quarter. That's what's going to come down to. I mean, the Bucks could be up by 10.5. It's not going to really matter to me. I want to see, after Brad Stevens goes into his locker room with his team, and Budenholzer goes into the locker room with his team, I want to see what happens in the second half. Because that game was pretty much evened up at halftime the last time, and they got outscored by 20 in the second half. That should not happen in a playoff game based on adjustments by both coaching staffs. It should not happen. So now you're going to see it again tonight, and we're going to see what happens coming out of half. That's what I want to see. The one thing the Bucks have done well all year long, and I've continued to say, is they got that switch, right? When they want to flip that switch in the second half, they just step up defensive intensity, and they pull away from you. The switch got pulled out of the wall by Boston. They couldn't find the switch on game one.
Right.
So if Boston doesn't allow them to get to that switch, they can get run again in the second half if they don't make adjustments like Boston.
What do the Bucks need to do tonight? 414-799-1250. If you need a new car, you go to Dan Richards and Hyundai West Dallas.
Yeah, going over to see my good friends over at Hyundai West Dallas, located on Highway 100 and Arthur Avenue. As for Dan Richards over at Hyundai West Dallas, they're ready to sell cars right now today, even though it's raining. New or used cars in stock today, guys. Go check them out. Hyundai West Dallas, located on Highway 100 and Arthur Avenue.
What do the Bucks need to do tonight? We answer that and also have some Brewers pitching news next for you. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. We'll talk to Eric Name coming up here in about 12 minutes from right now. This is Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. You can call us up, 414-799-1250. Tell us what adjustments you think the Bucks need to do tonight.
Newest, one of the newest Packer players through free agency, Adrian Amos, tweeted out last night, it looks like, going to the Bucks game tomorrow. Nice. I hope Giannis can back up what you Wisconsinites have been saying to me in my mentions, because if he don't, I'm pulling up receipts. LOL.
But wait, what is he doing? He's pulling up what?
Receipts.
You gotta translate that.
Oh, meaning he must have been questioning Giannis or the Bucks or whatever the case may be, and people must have been attacking him for questioning Giannis.
This is it. This is Giannis. This is it for Giannis.
That thing is settling down for you over there, Gary.
This is it for Giannis, folks. I mean, but he's the guy.
This is put up or shut up time is what you're saying right now.
Pretty much. Or, and it's not really put up or shut up. It is more like, okay, let's get back in the gym. Let's add some more to my game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw all the great players. They all did it. They all did it. They all worked in the game. They all got better. Listen, the guy is only 24 years old. So he figured out, okay, this is going to be different playoffs. They're going to let Joker just ride me out. So I need to develop X.
When KD went with the team with Russ and James Harden, he was like, at that point, like the best scorer in the league.
Yeah.
But I feel like what he added was understanding the right pass that he can have at that point. I think that's something like, we're all looking for Giannis to improve the shooting aspect, where he has all the other traits possibly, but he might just need to be able to knock that one big shot down.
Well, a lot of things. I mean, Steve talked about yesterday, a lot of things. I mean, a post game, back to the basket. I mean, drop step, all that. I mean, he's got all that. Fade away, like KD does. I mean, I don't know if he can ever get it like KD, but LeBron most certainly had developed that fadeaway. I mean, the fadeaway with LeBron just happened like 3 years ago, I think. I mean, that.
And he really didn't start stepping up into threes until like year six or seven in the league.
Right. So this is nothing bad on Giannis. This is just the guy's still learning, man.
414-799-1250. What should the Bucks do differently tonight? Let's go to John in Tosa. He's next on the phone.
What's up, John?
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Yeah.
So I'm saying they're going to roll with Snell in the starting lineup. I think they'll put Middleton at the two, Snell, either two or three. And I think what they're going to do is, you saw Hayward kill them on the pick and pop. It's obvious Connaughton can't guard Hayward on that pick and pop. You have Snell in there. He's an athletic wing, but also a front-center shot. He's also got good spacing with Giannis on the floor. I mean, I know Snell's not everyone's favorite cup of tea in town, but Snell is one of the best defenders on the team from a schematic standpoint, but also an understanding of spacing on the offense. So you put Snell in there, and you have Sterling Brown come off the bench. You still gain a little bit more on the shot-making ability in the second unit, Brown also being able to tackle the hoop. I honestly think Mirotić, you know, he had a great game, but I mean, everyone's saying, hey, he's the answer. The answer is you can't get caught up with Lopez on Horford on that pick and pop, because Lopez is such an awful defender on the perimeter. Unfortunately, you're going to need Ersan Ilyasova to just play better defensively. He rebounded well, but his feet are so slow that last game, and it caused a lot of problems. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum didn't even have great games, but I'm going to tell you what, they're phenomenal players, and you got to have athletes that can cover them. That's all I got, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Freddie.
He covered just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now we bring in Eric Name to give us everything that he missed. Eric Name on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline covers the Bucks for The Athletic, joins us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Eric, we've been asking everybody all day, where's the most pressure? What can the Bucks do differently tonight? Who has the most pressure on them, do you believe, tonight in Game 2?
It's probably Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think anytime you're the MVP of the league and you have it's probably your worst playoff game since you tackled Mike Dunleavy into the first row.
Forgot about
that. You're going to get the pressure. You're going to get everything. Four of 15 from the paint. That's just not him. Like, he has to be better. And I think obviously he knows it because he's crazy like that. Of course he's going to be out there ready and trying to prove that first game was a fluke, but to me, it's all on him. Like that's just how it goes. That's how it goes when you're a star in this league. Like you don't get to have games like that. And I mean, you can go through the roster and say other guys need to play better, do this or do that. But Giannis having a 4-15 night from the paint when typically he's up over 60%. That's it.
So what changed? He just had an off night and Boston's defense didn't have any impact. I mean, what? I guess what I don't understand
don't
in all
ridiculous.
Of this, because I heard
like,
Vin Baker talking this.
Like, you know,
I heard
that.
Vin Baker talking the same crap last night in the Milwaukee Basketball Hour, saying it's all on Giannis. Well, are you guys going to do anything? Well, no, he has to figure it out. Okay, fine. Now you come on and go, well, it's all on Giannis. He has to be better. Folks, if they don't do anything, Boston's going to guard him the same way. So what's going to change that all of a sudden he's going to figure it out and be different? What's going to change? I mean, he's going to force it up against two or three guys, ain't he? It's going to be same old, same old. So what changes? How does he get better?
I mean, okay.
How do you unpack that, Eric? How do you unpack
it? Well, I just want him to explain to me what's going to change. If Boston plays in the same way defensively and the Bucks say we're not going to do anything differently, it's going to be the same old, how does he get any better?
Go ahead, Eric.
Giannis is going to do what he does. Like I don't really know how to explain it any other way. Like if you think 4-15 is what Giannis is, and that's as good as he can do against this defense, then you are 100% right, Sparky. The series will not change. Nothing will change because the Bucks can't play. Like you know, like they can't win if Giannis isn't good.
But I disagree. But that's where we disagree.
I think if
Giannis gets you 25 on a given night. But Bledsoe actually shows up and is Eric Bledsoe like we've seen in the past, they can still win the games.
That's not how this works. Mm-mm. It goes. It's at the top. You start at the top. Like that's where blame goes, is at the top. So it is on Giannis. Like we can go down the line, and Eric Bledsoe was not good in game one. There's no doubt about that. But it starts with Giannis. Like he has to be better. And I think when you look back and watch game one over again, I think there was a number of times where he was impatient. I thought there was a number of times where he simply wasn't strong enough on his drive. There was two or three Euro steps that he attempted on shots that he missed that just looked weak, just didn't look like he was ready for the physicality that Al Horford was going to bring and the physicality that was brought to him in that game. And that's out of the norm, right? Like most of the time he bowls through guys and he has to know, with Al Horford, that's not going to happen. He's not Thon Maker. You're not going to bump him into the first row. Like that's not how this is going to work. Like you are really going to have to work for it. You're really going to have to be under control in your drives, and you can't have those possessions where you just flip up a finger roll at the rim. Like think back to his first transition attempt of the night. He attacks in transition, 1-on-5, 1-on-4, like he typically does. He hits Jaylen Brown with a spin move, and then when he gets to the rim, it's jumping off his left foot, right hand finger roll, and Al Horford sends a packet. Like that's not strong enough. That's not good enough. So, to me, that's where this all is. Like this is on Giannis. Like he has to be better. This team was built around Giannis being great. This team wasn't built around, okay, you're number two or you're number three are superstars. Like the whole year, everyone was asking, you know, is Chris Middleton good enough? Is Eric Bledsoe good enough? Those are great questions, but they were only questions because you thought the number one guy was an automatic every single night, and that's not the case in game one. So, really, to me, I do think it's Giannis. Like, it's
so what? So what you're saying, Eric, is that you live or die with your best player, whatever that is.
I mean, playoff basketball is based on the idea that the team that will win is the team that has the best player in the series.
Yeah.
And I think coming into the series, the Bucks had a lot of confidence because, well, they thought Giannis was the best player in the series. And they thought, okay, we have enough talent in the rest of the spots, but also, you know, we have the best player. I think that's what the Bucks thought. And that was far from the truth in game one.
And we got a lot of people calling today for, well, really getting on Budenholzer about his adjustments or non-adjustments in game. Like, I mean, these guys played all these games. They are who they are. I mean, I don't know how they do anything much different. They won, what, 60 games like this?
Yeah, and I would say I would put Bud probably second on the list for pressure because the criticism of Mike Budenholzer coming into the season is that when you get to the playoffs, he doesn't make adjustments.
Correct.
That's the main criticism, that when they went up against LeBron, he didn't adjust, and that was why they lost games. So I do think there's, you know, if you're going in kind of order, like it's Giannis at the top, and then it's Budenholzer next. Like
Are they going to make any adjustments? Are they going to play the pick and pop the same? For me, I wasn't surprised that they played the way that they did in game one. Not how bad that they played, but the style and fashion in which they played. Like, you had to know that when you have a young team that rockets from, you know, an also-ran knockout in the first round to the best team in the league, like, you have to have a certain level of confidence in what you're doing. You have to say to your guys, like, hey, go out there, be you, you're the best team in the league. That team could get shook because it happened so quickly. Like, they so quickly changed from, you know, just a regular team to the best team in the league that, you know, you couldn't go into game one and say, all right, guys, we're scrapping everything. Everything that we did right in the regular season, we don't do that anymore. We're going to do something totally different because I think it sends the wrong message to your team. So you had to at least try it in game one. It didn't work. Now what do you do? How do you change? How do you make things different? Is that in the rotation? Is that chopping down the minutes of a guy like Pat Connaughton? Is that increasing the minutes of Giannis and Chris Middleton? Is that, you know, defensively, are you going to play the pick and pop differently? Are you going to switch more? Is Giannis going to switch more? Or is he going to continue to play drop coverage in the middle of the lane? Like, how do you kind of go through all of these things? And, you know, how do you get better? How do you win on the margins? Like, I don't imagine tonight we'll see wholesale changes from Bud because that's just not really who he is. But you got to do something. You got to make some changes on the margins that can help your team win. And even if it's smaller things and not we're switching everything. Like, even if it's something smaller, like, you got to do something to help out your guys and show them that, you know, you're involved in this and not just saying, well, guys, it's on you.
Talking with Eric Name of the Athletic here on the Wendy's Big Show. Excuse me, Eric. Something like what you were just talking about with an adjustment on Gordon Hayward. Do you believe that Pat Connaughton still draws as much time on Hayward today, or do you believe that they try to go somewhere else with that matchup?
Man, this is my first playoff series with Bud. I have no idea what Bud does.
Right.
Personally, I think this series isn't for Pat Connaughton. Like, it just isn't. You watch him try to cover Gordon Hayward. He ends up on the floor a lot of the time when Hayward's on the floor carrying that second unit. And, you know, it's not a good matchup for him. He's not good enough for it. And so to me, that is part of it. That, you know, a guy like Connaughton, you know, sometimes certain series just aren't for certain guys. So that means you give some more minutes to Sterling Brown, Eric Bledsoe, George Hill. That means you give some more minutes to Middleton. You give some more minutes to Giannis. Like, it's only 20 minutes for Connaughton. Like, you can cover 20 minutes by just giving, you know, those other guys more minutes and chopping your rotation down from 9 to 10 guys to, like, 8 guys. So I think you could – I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking you don't want to go to Pat Connaughton tonight. But like I said, I haven't seen Bud really get tested in the playoffs as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. So
let me ask
Let
me ask you this. Man-to-man, just player-to-players. Is Boston a more talented team than the Milwaukee Bucks?
That's really tough.
Yes or no. You don't have to make it hard.
Well, I mean, it is hard because...
Well, no, it's not.
Giannis is spectacular.
Yeah, but then you go Giannis...
Let him explain his point, then.
Yeah, hold on. So, but then you go... if he is...
individual matchups. Yeah, that's what you're going to do, Gary. I understand. Very clearly understand, which is why I wanted to answer the question. So you're going to go matchup for matchup, right? You're going to go across the board. Yes, you're probably going to have more wins for the Celtics.
Yeah.
But if Giannis is the MVP and is that much better than Kyrie Irving or that much better than Al Horford, then all of a sudden that answer to that question.
Well, he's better than Horford, right? He's better than Horford. I mean, I don't think that's a question there.
I don't disagree, but that is why the answer is complicated, because going across the board, like, yeah, I think you're going to put more checks in the column for the Boston Celtics.
Right.
But if your talent at the top is far superior, if Giannis is that much better, a great player can pull you over the top of all of those check marks in that column.
So is Giannis better than their best player, Boston's?
He certainly wasn't in game one. Kyrie Irving was in control of that game. Okay. That was a masterpiece. He was spectacular. Right. And Giannis wasn't. So we'll see what happens in the next six games.
Sounds good.
It's going to be fun tonight, Eric.
Hey, Eric, I hate that you had to go through that slander.
No, it wasn't really at all.
No, it's all good.
Yeah. No, it's all good, but... Like I said, I hate you had to go through this kind of slander, but we'll talk to you another time. We appreciate you.
I didn't want to put him on the spot.
Leroy and I will have some fun with you next time.
Yeah, both of y'all attack Eric. We love it. But, you know, you can handle yourself.
I can handle Gary and Sparky.
I mean, it's not handling me. I tell you what I mean. I think Boston has the better team. Now, that doesn't mean that the better team is always going to win. And right now,
but you got the MVP, though.
Well, right now, and Eric said it, right now, Kyrie played the better of the two MVPs.
Well, you got a game tonight.
Yep. Yeah, you got another
one. All right, Eric, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Nah, that was good to see you.
All right, thanks, man. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. 414-799-1250 is the phone number. Ben Fennell joins Wendy's Big Show in 10 minutes. It's here on The Fan. Live at 105.7 FM, thefan.com. Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen inbox. Okay, well,
what?
So sometimes these things come up on the ABC audio video flat panels that I just have to ask you about, Gary.
Yes.
We joked about Dwayne Haskins before the draft process, about Dwayne Haskins was the cat that walked into John Elway's office with his meeting with the Denver Broncos, rocking
with the
old school orange seven.
Yeah, that was straight.
So they're asking right now on PTI if Dwayne Haskins need to ask permission of Joe Theismann if he can wear the 7 in Washington. I'm going to have to ask you, because you were that era.
Yeah.
Bro, is Joe Theismann really that good that I need to ask permission to wear his jersey?
In that organization, he is. For the Washington Redskins.
Okay.
Maybe not the NFL.
I get it.
The NFL as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But within that organization, he is.
Okay.
And Joe's not a Hall of Famer?
Do not believe so.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I think within that organization, he's a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? And that Joe's big and
watching. Man, he ran that offense with Riggins.
Yeah. Because no one's asking Leap whenever they're handing off the 36 to Raven and Green.
I have a story for you.
It's another thing. Has anybody else won 7 since Joe won it?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
So he's a one-time Super Bowl winner, a one-time MVP, two-time Pro Bowler, All-Pro. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
For Washington, he is.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. Okay.
Mike Irvin let that got his jersey down for Dez Bryant.
Because Paul Hornung, he did that. Paul Hornung.
But those are big-time Hall of Fame
dudes. Yeah, Paul Hornung is, too. Because what's his name? Because his number wasn't retired. Mikowski asked Paul Hornung if he could wear that 5.
Did they ask him this time? Because they just issued it again.
They did?
Yeah, one of the draft choices has 5.
Which one? One of the receivers?
Let me look it up. Yeah, they just issued it again.
I don't know if they did or not.
They did, because everybody was freaking out about it.
No. I don't know if they asked him or not.
Oh,
but
right.
I do know that Magic asked Paul Horn if he could wear it.
Hold on.
Okay. So I didn't know. I just had to. I had to ask somebody that was from that era if that was the guy that would have to.
Yeah, in that organization,
permission. Yes. Okay, that's understandable.
Ted Thompson did call me about Nick Collins, though.
Okay,
that's 100.
Did anybody call you about Raven Green?
Well, no, I don't care what. No. That's different regimes. Care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because they were there.
I'd rather see my number than not, though. I'd rather see it.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather see it on, like, Darnell Savage, like a second-round pick,
it
big
matter,
time,
really.
Dude's going to be hitting people?
You don't make the number. The numbers
not the
make
guy
you.
Getting, getting the direct
snap. The numbers
snap
don't really
on
make you. You
no,
make
right,
the number.
Yeah. That's what Terrell Davis said to Philip Lindsay, and same deal. He called Philip, or Philip Lindsay called him and said, hey, man,
Philip
cool,
Lindsay,
cool if
truth,
I rock this.
Too.
Yeah, and he showed up.
And what did Philip say?
TD said,
he got 30.
Yeah.
And then won the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Yeah.
Undrafted.
Undrafted dude.
Man, that kid, he's going to be one of my top picks in fantasy.
Philip Lindsay? Yeah, that's a good pick.
Let me hit you with this.
Okay.
Budenholzer. I really don't have much. We're going to run what we normally run.
I like this. This is a role playing. Okay, so my Giannis?
Yeah, all y'all.
Okay.
All y'all. I don't have much. Okay. We're going to do what we do. We're going to run. We run. But you guys are just going to have to play better. And they know what's coming. Execute it.
That's the playing hard thing that I'm hearing.
Yeah, we got no magic pixie dust here. We got none of that. Do it.
I've heard everybody make
go
the comment
to the next level
and comment with
make
the,
it happen.
You have to play harder, or the Bucks need to play harder. Is that it?
That's I got no more here. This is what we do.
Listen, guys, this is it.
This is it.
I showed you the game plan. I laid it out for you.
We got some solo things that we can do to try to help you out a little bit on a couple matchups, but this kind of who we are, what we do.
I got one out of bounds play. Maybe we'll run.
Yeah.
Maybe one set.
What you got? Can you take game to another level? And that could be too. That and Steve's right. That could be Bledsoe.
Mm-hmm.
That could be Middleton. I mean, that's everybody. That's everybody across the board in the locker room. This is what we got to do.
Maybe I had a dream about this Paul Hornick thing because I can't find it now. So no maybe five? They didn't get out of five. No, that's fine. Okay, maybe it was a dream.
Maybe we can ask Ben Fennell. I mean, he knows this draft class as anybody. He's been posting videos of it all day long.
Yeah,
so we get him on the Wendy's Big Show to talk about it. Ben Fennell joins the Big Show next here on The Fan. But first, my man, Gary Ellerson, his guys from J&J Contractors.
Jason from J&J. Guys, you're looking to do something to the interior of your house, you know, kitchen cabinets, countertops, bathrooms. Add a bathroom onto your house. Add a bedroom onto your house.
That's a good one.
Livable space, man cave. You already got a basement. You haven't, got it.
Oh, you got our cinder blocks all over the place.
We can come down there and fix it for you. You can add it into a man cave. You can add it into a playroom. We can do a little bit of everything. Mm. Outdoor oasis. We can add
playroom.
Some.
I like
that. Oh, guys, go see my good friends today at J&J Contractors and ask for Jason.
Ben Fennell joins the Wendy's Big Show next. Keep it locked. 105.7 FM, The Fan. Big Show on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Baby Tausch. 2-4 Packers. Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler in here as well. No, you can't. Just can't. That's the kind of mess that you can't do.
Just can't. Mm-mm. And then do you think you're going to walk in the locker room?
Yeah, and then be all cool with it. Joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is Ben Fennell. Ben, we appreciate the time as always, dude. First off, I want to ask you about Jenkins, the offensive lineman that they took out of Mississippi State. I texted Gary right away after it. I love the dude. I think he's just a mean inside, outside zone road grader that's going to fit perfectly in this system.
Yeah, absolutely. This is an experienced offensive lineman that's played up and down the offensive line at Mississippi State, anywhere from tackle to center. And coincidentally, I think his best fit will be at guard in the NFL, and that's the position actually he played the least. But I think he'll transition just fine to an NFL-style running game that he had a lot of experience doing down in the SEC with a lot of experience. He's just a really, really cerebral player. I'm happy he's graduated, already got his diploma. He's a smart kid. He's experienced. He's a fifth-year senior, so he's been on campus just around that program for 5 years. I think he's just somebody you want to plug into any offensive line room because he could plug and play at nearly – four or five positions for you, and I'm not sure if he's going to compete right away at left guard, right guard. He's just a guy you want in your room. That's a key depth piece and somebody that's really going to add competition to the back end of the roster.
You and Michael Cohen have done great stuff at the Athletic, Ben, and thanks on behalf of everybody for all the great draft stuff that you do and film breakdown that you do. Of everybody the Packers drafted, who's your favorite pick?
You know, I was pretty excited to see Darnell Savage. I'm not sure we've ever seen this type of athlete, an explosive level of speed roaming the middle of the defense. This guy is an explosive spark plug safety. He's a little undersized, but, man, this guy plays at 100 miles an hour. He's every bit of a 4-3 player, and he's a playmaker. He's small. He's undersized. Does he finish every play? No. But he's going in aggressively, full speed, and he makes some big plays. He has great ball skills, takes good angles to the football. When the ball's in the air, he has good ball skills, and he's just fearless. He's not afraid, and I just think the Packers' defense needs more players with that attitude and that fearless approach.
So you're not going to talk about the first round pick, the first Rashad Gary? Everybody staying away from that one?
You know, it's kind of interesting with a lot of these draft picks of the Packers. If this was 10 years ago, we would have thrown the word tweener out. And now all of a sudden we're calling these guys hybrids, and everybody gets all excited because they could play multiple positions. They aren't true ends, true tackles. But Rashawn Gary, in every sense of the word, is a boom or bust prospect. And that's okay. He's 21 years old. We have time to figure out if there's going to be boom or bust. He's still a kid. He's still a little immature. He's still figuring out his life. He's going to figure out how to be a professional and needs to really surround himself with the Mike Daniels and Kenny Clarks of the world. But it's all upside. It's all potential. These types of athletes aren't walking around on the streets every day and aren't in every NFL draft. So to see a player of this caliber, of this height, weight, speed, explosiveness, that's the stuff you can't teach. Now let's see if he's coachable. Let's see if he can mature. Let's see if he can take all the points from the veterans and really refine his game, because he's getting off the bus and waking up in the morning with some God-given abilities. So let's see if he can just put it all together in the NFL game.
Ben, I want to talk about Steinberger because I think you have some information.
What's his name?
Steinberger.
That's my guy.
Sure, just go with it.
I think he has some stuff on him about maybe blocking or something. This guy's a receiver, Ben. I'm not asking him to block nobody. I've seen this guy play. I just know he can get open on one-on-one coverage, and you can put him in the slot to replace Randall Cobb. Now, how do you think the Packers will play him?
You know, and I just want to preface this by saying I hope he turns into a Hall of Famer. I hope all these players turn into their best versions of themselves and have long careers, and I hope, but nothing for the best. I have zero vested interest in the success or failure of these players. But when I saw Sternberger, I saw, yes, that's a flex tight end. That's an oversized receiver, and I feel like we already have one of those with Jimmy Graham. You could send Jimmy Graham and Sternberger to the receiver room on day one for all I care. But in order to run LaFleur's system, which is disguising intent and running multiple plays at a similar looks, you need a two-way Y tight end, an inline tight end that excels in the run game and the pass game in order to make this offense tick. And I just don't see that player on this roster. And if you're just looking at Chase Sternberger as that flex tight end, yeah, he could get open in the slot. He runs some nice routes. He could really, you know, stick safeties. He has some good moves at the top of his routes. But I saw a couple passes that were a foot, 2 feet out in front of him, and he just didn't have that extra gear to go get it and have that real acceleration or burst at the catch point. He's athletic. He's big. He's got strong hands. He can get himself open. But I didn't see an exceptional athlete that I really was wowed with his ability to go get the ball or get open, or that he was a nightmare in the open field once he got the ball in his hands. He's a nice receiver. It's a nice part. I just thought they could have used a more well-rounded traditional Y tight end to start to implement and groom into LaFleur's scheme. But then again, this is the college game, and those type of tight ends really aren't walking around in college football.
But Ben, let's talk about what made you irritated about this player, because I saw you tweeting about it.
Well, when I'm looking at it, I want to figure out what can he do in blocking. He played in the SEC, and you know, he did play inline tight end, and he was a wing tight end. He had to cut off some defensive ends and wham the backside and control defensive end on the front side from time to time. I just saw a player that had no lower body strength. His pad level was too high. His hand placement was inconsistent and poor, and often his punch was wide, and he was just getting controlled at the point of attack. So I look at this player, and I hope that he could ascend and get stronger in the NFL, which, I mean, who are we kidding? Everybody's going to get stronger with an NFL strength program. And I'm hoping he takes a similar development to second-round pick Dallas Goedert of the Philadelphia Eagles last year. At South Dakota State, he really wasn't asked to block a whole lot, really refined his technique with the Eagles, really got stronger, and now is sitting here as the best blocking tight end on the Philadelphia Eagles and one of the better blocking tight ends in the league. So I'm just hoping once he gets on the team and with the coaches, can he take that next step in doing something we maybe just didn't see him excel doing in college.
But the other thing, correct me if I'm wrong, that irritated you was when he did miss a block and his quarterback got creamed, he wasn't there to help pick his quarterback up.
Listen, that's stuff that I put a lot of emphasis in. I make a huge emphasis on effort, attitude, teammate. Yeah, if your guy forced the fumble, you're damn right, you better get up and go run that play down. Don't just stand there and sulk. That's things I don't like. And maybe it's an aesthetic, and every other person we talk to may say, oh, I don't really care about that kind of stuff. Well, that stuff matters to me. And I promise you, there's people on the Packers that watch that stuff, and it matters. And if you give up a sack, yeah, you better stick your hand out and go pick up that quarterback. That's a guy I want on my team.
And you're right. You also better say I'm sorry. That's what I used to always do whenever I would give up a sack.
Well, it doesn't hurt to be a little apologetic. You know?
Ben Fennell joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from The Athletic. Ben, I really like the pick of Dexter Williams. I know it's late. I know he's going to be probably a third running back in the room. But what he does in a zone scheme, I think the Packers can really, really
excel. Reminded me a lot of Jamal Williams in that, you know, they're 4-5, 4-6 running backs. But it's because they're very patient in the backfield. They wait for that lane, that alley, wait for that defense to overflow, put their foot in the ground, and they have the burst and the acceleration. Are they running 4-4s in the open field? No. But can they accelerate and burst once they see that crease or that alley? Absolutely. And they could take away an angle from a safety. He's a tough player. And I just really love his vision. I think he's going to fit right into that zone scheme and that outside zone scheme and waiting for those cutback lanes. And I think he's done enough in the passing game, whether it's a check down or a screen, to show you he can contribute on third down. I think he ran one angle route last season, but it was a beautiful angle route and scored a touchdown against Syracuse. So you know he can do it. And I just think he's a really intriguing player to work into this stable of running backs.
Yeah, Ben, I want to get back to these two fourth-round picks they used to get Savage. Now, because I like Jonathan Abrams. I told you that earlier. But they did not address wide receiver as far as, you know, if they want a return guy or not. They did not address tackle, like a real tackle. And they didn't get a quarterback. You would think just draft a quarterback late to just develop and put him on the practice squad. I guess because if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, I think we know how that movie ends. So you would think they'd start developing a quarterback, but they chose not to.
Yeah, but you know how the CBA is going. Nobody has time to develop anymore. And I'm a big believer of that Ron Wolf, Andy Reid mentality where you take a quarterback every year. But we've really gotten out of that developmental mentality in the NFL. And it's sad because once the starting quarterback goes down, that is not an excuse in my mind. And I actually think it exposes your coaching staff even more when that backup is forced to play. And what happens when he has to step in? What happens when Case Keenum has to take over for Sam Bradford or Nick Foles has to take over for Carson Wentz? You better step up and run that offense. It's not an excuse when that quarterback goes down, and that backup better be ready. But just to address your other points there, it was interesting to not add some more competition to the receiver room, maybe a more traditional slot to replace Randall Cobb's role. I could definitely envision seeing Aaron Jones maybe getting some slot reps just like Deion Lewis did in Tennessee last year for LaFleur's offense, and some other positions. There really aren't true tackles on the team behind David Bakhtiari, Brian Bulaga, and I guess Jason Spriggs. You have all these kind of interchangeable parts. Obviously, Billy Turner's a guard tackle. Cole Madison's a guard tackle. Jenkins has played guard tackle. So I could see a lot of moving parts on that offensive line, and a lot of things can happen this summer with different battles at left guard, right tackle, whether that means Bulaga could be a veteran cap casualty or Lane Taylor could lose his job. So there's a lot of interesting kind of dynamics with the offensive line. And when you look at that cornerback room, I mean, you take Tremont Williams out of the defensive back room, it's all second and third year players. I thought bringing Breshad Breeland back would be a slam dunk to have that veteran presence, just to have somebody around 30 years old that's still grooming and working with these corners and having a more veteran presence with Tremont Williams. It's a dangerously young defensive back room at this point.
No, and I would agree with you. Overall, between free agency and this draft, how do you think Brian Gutekunst has done?
You know, he's being aggressive. I can never fault a GM for being aggressive and taking the initiative to address needs and alleviating some of that draft pressure and making moves in your draft to go get a guy that you value. We can, you know, obviously argue the value of Darnell Savage or giving up fourth-round picks, but he's not just sitting on his hands. He's being aggressive, and now time will tell if the aggressive moves are paying off and whether they were the right players or not. But at this point in the process, I'm very impressed with his aggressiveness in addressing some of these needs and not sitting there in that reserve type of approach that we've seen kind of over the last 10, 15 years and maybe not going after those B and A level free agents and not being as aggressive on the front end of the draft and trading out all the time. So I like seeing the aggressive approach, but time will tell to see if those decisions are going to pay off.
And luckily the time is coming up next week where we'll see some of these guys in a rookie mini camp. And soon enough, Ben, we're going to talk about these guys strapping up pads and actually hitting for real. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, guys. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
That's Ben Fennell of The Athletic joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935. Sparky, can you tell us about your friend Paul Roberts?
I can. Even though the weather this week is cool and a little rainy for grilling outside, some of you people still grill outside in the rain, there's no reason not to make the most of your dinnertime enjoyment of quality meats from Roberts Specialty Meats. Paul Roberts has lots of options to make dinnertime the best time of day. From hand-cut USDA prime steaks, awesome stuffed pork roast and chicken breasts to suit easy dinner time treats. So there's such easy dinner time treats, I can read. Like ribs on a stick, marinated chicken skewers and barbecue garlic parmesan, or Door County cherry varieties, original gourmet burgers, or more than 30 varieties of sausages and brats, including my favorite, the Al Capone Italian sausage, just full of zesty flavor. You can't control the weather outside, but you can control
when you serve your family for dinner. So make the stop to Roberts or call them today at 262-549-MEAT. 262-549-MEAT to reserve your order. When you visit, make sure you sample some of their made fresh daily Cherrywood smoked beef sticks, the perfect snack treats. You can also check them out online at robertsspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons. For the best in meats, there's only one place to go. Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane is next. Wendy's Big Show, 5 o'clock hour. You know what it is. We reset the big topics on the show, give you the final say on them. It's Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane. It comes at you next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.